13. Ben found his cousin on the bridge of the Anakin Solo, a gaunt, black-clad figure silhouetted by flashing fans of turbolaser fire, staring out the tactical salon viewport as though he could actually make sense of the conflagration he had ignited. It occurred to Ben that he was finally seeing Jason in his true form, a stain on the galaxy, a shadow spreading fire across the stars. He pushed that recognition from his mind as quickly as it had come. If Ben wanted to get close enough to kill his cousin, he had to keep his thoughts pure, to actually believe in the dark dream again. Jason would see through anything less. Omis had been right about that much, at least. A dozen analysts were bustling around the holodisplay of the battle in the center of the tactical salon, and several glanced in Ben's direction. Their eyes flashed sometimes with sympathy and sometimes with scorn, but no one seemed surprised to see him, and no one offered a nod of greeting. Even Jason's administrative aide, the cheeky Jennet Orlop, was careful to ignore Ben and continue clicking his datapad. Clearly, Jason was determined to make Ben lick Dex before taking him back. It was a good sign. Were Jason planning a bad end for Ben, he would have tried to put him at ease. But it rankled nonetheless, and only the memory of that last happy afternoon with his mother gave him the strength to reach for the contrition and embarrassment he would need to fool Jason. Ben was still trying to summon the feelings when his head began to prickle beneath the pressure of someone's careful inspection. At first he was confused about where the scrutiny came from, since the tactical staff continued to ignore him, and his cousin's eyes had not strayed from the unrelenting battle beyond the viewport. Then a small force tug summoned Ben forward, and he realized Jason had been studying him with a faculty other than sight.
"I must say, you Skywalkers continue to surprise me."
Jason's gaze shifted so that he was looking at Ben's reflection in the viewport.
"Did you come all the way out here to gloat, or are you just here to slip away with the fleet's Bacta supply?"
"I'm sorry about Dad."
Ben started forward, circling wide around the holodisplay to avoid interfering with the analysts. Jason's back was still turned to him, but he knew better than to think he stood any chance of killing his cousin now. He would have to be patient, win Jason's trust again, and then strike.
"I didn't think he'd blame you for Omis."
"That's the trouble. You didn't think. Not at all."
Jason turned and faced Ben.
"You killed a former chief of state of the Galactic Alliance. Technically, he was still the chief. The Senate hadn't even had a chance to begin a formal inquiry."
Ben stopped in front of Jason and shrugged.
"He killed Mom," he said,
forcing himself to believe in the lie.
"I'll stand trial if you want."
Jason shook his head.
"There can't be a trial. It would look like GAG sent you."
The outrage, Ben knew, was feigned. He had done exactly as Jason had hoped he would, though a lot less smoothly. If his cousin was angry about anything, it was about how badly he had botched the operation. Still, he did his best to believe Jason's act, so that his force presence would feel properly chastened.
"As far as the public is concerned," Jason continued, "you were trying to save him, just like the Holonews is saying. Is that clear?"
Ben nodded.
"Yes, sir, if that's what you want."
"What I want is to throw you in a detention cell and weld the door shut. But that's not the best thing for the Alliance, so count yourself lucky."
Jason ran his gaze over Ben's black GAG uniform, then said,
"Now tell me why you risked your life to fly out here through the middle of a battle, and what you're doing in uniform."
"I'm reporting for duty," Ben said simply.
"After what you accused me of?"
Jason's brow shot up in carefully rehearsed disbelief, and it grew apparent that he had received Ben in the tactical salon for more than the satisfaction of public groveling. He wanted witnesses to hear a Skywalker say he hadn't murdered Mara.
"Does this mean you don't think I had anything to do with your mother's death?"
"Omis is the one I killed," Ben answered. He could probably have hidden an outright lie from Jason, but he found himself reluctant to actually speak the words, as though that might somehow absolve Jason of the crime. "There's your answer." All too confident in his ability to manipulate Ben, Jason didn't even hesitate to accept it.
"I suppose so. I only wish that undid the damage."
Motioning for Ben to follow, he led the way into the commander's office at the back of the salon. Though the cabin contained both a desk and a small conference table with several chairs, Jason did not go to either. He simply closed the door and opaqued the transparasteel privacy partition, then turned so fast that Ben began to fear his cousin knew exactly why he had returned.
"Who else did you share your suspicions with?" Jason demanded. "Your father?"
Ben shook his head. "I didn't talk about it with anyone."
"You're lying."
Jason stepped closer.
"Why else would he have deserted me when he did?"
"I didn't say anything." Ben found himself retreating toward a corner and stopped. It would not do to get himself trapped. "I didn't have proof, and I didn't think anybody would listen to me."
"He wanted to wound me, Ben."
Jason continued to advance, coming so close that Ben could feel his breath as he spoke.
"To wound the Alliance. Why would he do that unless you had convinced him that I had killed your mother?"
I don't know. Actually, his father had explained over a secure comm channel that Omis's assassination was the final outrage in a whole series that had sent him Nova. But the angry gleam in Jason's eyes suggested there was no use telling him he had brought this on himself. "It wasn't because of anything I told him. Honest." Jason stopped so close that their toes touched, and he began to stare through Ben to somewhere about a light year beyond Kuat, his force aura crackling with anger. "Look," Ben said, allowing his hand to drop toward his lightsaber. "If I had told Dad that I thought you killed Mom, he would have done a lot more than desert. One of you would be dead now." The comment seemed to draw Jason back into the cabin. His gaze dropped to the hand hovering above Ben's lightsaber. Then a glimmer of astonishment came to his eyes. He stepped away.
"You may have a point,"
he said, smiling faintly.
"But that doesn't mean I should take you back. I don't know that I can trust you anymore."
Ben nodded. He had been expecting this. "Trust is in short supply these days." "So what? You need me." Jason cocked his brow and said nothing. "With Dad and the Jedi gone, I'm good for your image," he said. "And I'm a pretty decent assassin."
"Not that decent."
Jason turned away, presenting his back to Ben, then sighed wearily.
"Tell me this, Ben. What am I to do about your father?"
"About his desertion?" As much as Ben ached to plant his lightsaber between Jason's shoulders at that moment, his cousin's mistake turning his back to him, seemed just a little too deliberate. He moved his hand away from the weapon, then asked, "What can you do?" Jason made a tisking sound and continued to stare at the blank wall.
"How quickly you forget, Ben. Wasn't taking the Academy hostage one of the, items that convinced you I was acting guilty?"
Ben's heart dropped so fast his knees almost buckled. Until now, he had never imagined Jason would actually harm the students. But a couple of weeks earlier, he couldn't have imagined Jason working with Lumia either, or killing his mother. Ben covered his alarm by recalling his reaction to Lumia's voice coming from Jason's GAG office, then pulled that same confusion over his mind like a cloak.
"I guess that's right," he said slowly. "But I don't think those students are going to replace Dad and the rest of the Jedi. Most of them haven't even built their first lightsaber."
Jason spun around.
"Replace isn't really what I was thinking."
"It wasn't?" Ben pretended to struggle with Jason's meaning for a moment, then allowed his face to fall.
"Oh.
What do you think?"
Jason asked, watching him intently.
"Does your father care about his students enough to return to duty for them?"
Ben knew he was being tested, that Jason was checking to see whether his loyalty was to the Jedi or to him. But Ben also knew by the gleam he had seen in Jason's eye earlier that his cousin was quite capable of carrying out the threat, and the thought of having the blood of young ones on his hands was too much for Ben. If he condoned something like that, even to avenge his mother, he would never be able to step back into the light, which could be exactly what Jason intended. His head began to ache.
"Well," Ben began cautiously, "the trouble with threatening the students is that nobody will believe you'd do it. So you're going to have to kill a few to show you're serious."
Jason nodded.
"Go on."
"But if you do that, the first thing the Jedi will do next is come after you," Ben finished. "The Masters were already talking about arresting you when you'd only put the Academy under protective custody."
"Were they?"
Jason sounded interested but disappointed, and Ben had the distinct feeling he had been measured and found lacking.
"They should have been grateful, don't you agree?"
"Masters aren't idiots, Jason," Ben said. "They called your bluff, and you've got nowhere to go. If you make good on your threat, you're just adding enemies. But if you don't, you're wasting GAG resources protecting the Academy while they run around causing you trouble."
"Interesting point."
Jason's tone had turned bitter.
"I imagine you're about to tell me I should withdraw soon."
"At least then the Jedi would have to protect the Academy themselves." Ben could see by the way Jason's eyes hardened that he was not re-establishing trust. Quite the opposite.
"But if I were you, I'd just stick to my first plan."
Jason scowled.
"What plan would that be?"
Ben rolled his eyes.
"Come on. You're always telling me to think 10 steps ahead. And right now that means thinking about where the Alliance is going to get its Jedi after the war. Seems to me the Academy is full of potential, just waiting for you to shape it in your own image."
Jason actually smiled.
"So you were paying attention."
"Some of the time," Ben said. "But Dad's desertion is going to throw a real Hydra spanner in your plans, isn't it?"
"Eventually," Jason admitted. "But so far, your father is content to do exactly as you suggest. Allow me to guard the Academy while he stirs up trouble."
"Then we'd better move first," Ben said,
sensing an opportunity to demonstrate his loyalty to Jason. I'll handle it, if you like. Jason glanced at his chrono, then asked,
We, Ben?
If you'll take me back, Ben said. I'm sorry for what I said, but everything was so confusing.
That's no excuse, Ben, Jason said. Any apprentice of mine needs to be the master of his emotions, not a slave to them.
I know. Ben thought he was doing a fairly good job of that now, forcing himself to appear humble when what he really wanted was to drop a thermal detonator at Jason's feet. You taught me better than that.
I'm glad you recognize that, Jason said. But I'm not sending you to the Academy to kill the Solusars and Jaina, if that's what you mean by moving first.
Ben scowled. You don't think that will make Dad think twice?
It might. But if you can't handle an old man like Omis, how are you going to eliminate two Jedi Masters and Jaina?
Jason shook his head to indicate that Ben wasn't, then checked his chrono again and started toward the door.
I'm due at a staff meeting.
What about me? Ben asked. He could not sense anything in Jason but distrust and disappointment. Do I still have a place here? Jason did not even hesitate as he reached for the control panel.
I don't know, Ben. I haven't seen any reason to take you back.
Ben grew hollow and cold inside, not because Jason was turning him down, but because he was asking for more, something that only Ben could give him. Whatever you decide, there's something you should know. Ben told himself it really didn't matter whom he betrayed right now, because Jason wasn't going to live long enough to make use of the information. Dad told me to meet him on Kashyyyk. Jason's hand dropped without touching the control panel.
Kashyyyk?
He sounded surprised, just not surprised enough to be hearing the information for the first time.
So he intends to join your aunt and uncle in asking the Wookiees to stay out of this.
Ben shook his head. He's a lot madder than that. Suddenly he felt very dirty inside, even dirtier than he had after he assassinated Gedgen. I think he wants them to help throw you out of office. This time Ben did get the reaction he was hoping for. First confusion, then shock, then total red-faced anger.
He wants the Wookiees to move on Coruscant?
Ben shrugged. He didn't say, exactly, just that it's time to put someone else in charge.
Someone else?
Jason punched the wall so hard that it triggered the opaque control, and the bustling tactical salon slowly appeared on the other side of the wall.
No one else can do this. No one else is willing to make the necessary sacrifices.
I am, Ben said, sensing that he was finally starting to make some progress. I just did. If Jason heard Ben, he didn't acknowledge it. His gaze was fixed on the tactical display outside, and he had that blank look he got when he was seeing something in the Force. After a moment, Jason opened the door and went to stand at the holodisplay, shouldering aside a Duros lieutenant and a Mon Calamari commander. Ben followed and heard Jason muttering to himself, saying the Confederation needed more members, that they couldn't stand the attrition any better than the Alliance could. From what Ben could see, that was hardly news to anyone. The Battle of Kuat had been raging for over a week now, and both sides were losing several capital ships a day and suffering casualties 10,000 at a time. The holodisplay showed more derelict vessels than it did functional, and rescue beacons were glittering so thick they looked like electronic snow. Jason turned to his aide, Orlop.
Get me the latest report on the readiness of the Wookiee fleet.
I am monitoring the situation. As ordered.
Orlop pulled at the nose whiskers on his slender jennet snout, then continued,
Military intelligence hasn't heard anything from our agents since the Solos escaped from jail. But the last report indicated that the Wookiees had just started lighting their reactor cores. We won't be seeing their fleet for some time, I'm afraid.
That may be a blessing,
Jason said.
Prepare orders sending the 5th Fleet to Kashyyyk. Tell Admiral Atoko that the Anakin Solo will be joining him there, and open a channel to Admiral Boitu. I need to discuss a change of strategy with him.
You're going after Dad and the Jedi? Ben gasped.
No. We're going to Kashyyyk to hunt down a band of traitors and deserters.
Jason waved Ben to his side, then added,
Welcome back, Lieutenant Skywalker. You're going to help me make an example of these people.